for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write Post Office Box 516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71902. Friday afternoon, August the 29th, 1986. Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Steve Bell of Richardson, Texas, is the teacher of the afternoon. This is a deliverance service. This is tape one of two tapes of this service. We'll turn the rest of the day till 7 o'clock and even later, if necessary, to Brother Steve Bell to minister whatever the Lord's given him and whatever the Lord does here this afternoon, that we'll flow together and move and healing and deliverance and restoration. The Spirit of the Lord will bring. It's a joy to have him back here with us again to minister. We've missed him. We desired for him to be here at other times and wasn't able. We're just rejoicing that he and his wife have come to be with us this weekend, and we know that you're going to be blessed from his ministry, and we'll bless him by him being here too. Brother Bell.
I thought Brother Tommy was going to preach my sermon this morning. And then I was sharing, I thought, well, praise God, if the Lord laid it on both of our hearts to minister in the same direction, you all must need it real bad. Need a double portion of it. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I like that. Let's stand up and pray just a minute, would you? Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father.
Praise God forever.
Lord God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. Lord, we bless your name that you are God. We bless your name for this day to live in, for this hour, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We believe you to anoint your word today, Father. For we know it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, Father. In the name of Jesus, we bind the strong man right now. We bind every hindering spirit. Every principality, every power, every influence that's not of the Spirit of God, you're bound now. For we come under that mantle of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come boldly in that blood before your presence, Father, to receive of you. And we give you thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. As I was standing out there a while ago, getting ready to anoint the van, Brother Glenn came up and he was going to put some oil on my hand, and he poured some oil out, and I got about, felt like a half a gallon all over my hands. And I was walking out around there, and the Lord reminded me of a scripture in Solomon. Verse 2 of chapter 5, the Shulamite says, I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drop of night. One day I was reading this, and I was wondering why she was so hesitant to jump up and open the door to the Lord. And the Lord just began to show me a little bit here. I'm sure there's a lot more than what I see. But listen to her response. She says, I've taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I washed my feet. How can I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. She heard him rattling the doorknob, and something began to leap up in her heart. I rose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh. My fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. And the Lord showed me that the hand being a kind of the ministry, that what the beloved had done because of so much pain, myrrh being one of the types of painkillers, that she'd dipped her hands in that myrrh to kill the pain that was coming through the ministry. And that's why she was just a little hesitant to jump up and run to the door anymore. The last time the Lord came and I got this revelation and went out with it running on the streets, everybody wanted to hear it, I thought, but the pain. Hallelujah. I want to share with you today something that's strongly on my heart. Couldn't remember whether or not I ministered this the last time I was here 2 years ago. Don't really care. Because when the Lord gave me this, I ministered it twice to my own congregation within 3 months. Frank Hammond came a month later and he ministered it, so we got it three times. Over in Proverbs, the 18th chapter, 14th verse is our theme scripture. And let me say this. I forget that I don't have a cord. I like this, brother. The Lord's got something for some of you here today. Boy, God wants to move here today. He's already been moving. Praise God. But there's a special way He wants to move towards some of you today in healing and deliverance. Now, I'm using the New King James. Hallelujah. It says in verse 14, it says, "The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit?" The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but a wounded or broken spirit, who can bear? Who can bear that? Which simply says to me that any kind of physical infirmity, somehow or another, a person can endure and stand up and resist and fight. But when it comes to the wounds that come to the heart, to the wounds that come to the inner part of a man can't bear it. A man can't sustain himself when he gets wounded in the spirit. Now, to lay a little foundation, I need to do this. Because there's been, I believe, some false teaching in this area of the soul and spirit and body. Amen? All right, I'm going to be bold and launch out here. Let's say this is your spirit. And let's say this is your soul. And let's say this is your body. All right? Now, there's a teaching that I picked up about 9 years ago when I first began to learn about faith and about the three parts of man. And although I'd been a psychologist, I didn't understand the makeup of man until I got in the Bible. And there's one big part of the personality that psychology really doesn't understand, doesn't even perceive yet, and that's the spirit man. And yet that's the key to everything.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So I heard the teaching was that once a person receives Jesus Christ, he comes into that spirit man, and that spirit man then is made completely whole, and the spirit's intact, and nothing can bother that spirit man anymore. Now, it's always in the soul and in the body is where the attack comes. And that sounds wonderful, except it's not scriptural. It's not scriptural, brethren. Now, another area while I'm at it. I've heard that there is body, or you can be in the flesh, or you can be in the soul, you can be soulish. Or you can be in the spirit. You can be spiritual. That is not scriptural. Brother quoted the passage today in Romans. You're either carnal or spiritual. It's awful quiet in here already.
Lay it on.
Scripture tells us you're either carnal or spiritual. Because in this area here, there is a will, and you're always making the decision to either go after the flesh or after the spirit, one or the other. The soul's a vessel. Hallelujah. All right, I'll not chase that anymore, because there's a lot of ground I want to cover. Now, where was I? I was talking about the spirit's intact. Well, let's look at some scriptures. Can the spirit man be damaged? The Bible says it can. Bible says it can. The spirit of a man is not invincible. Your spirit man is not invincible. It is not beyond being damaged. Look at Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart what? sick. The spirit man can be sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. The spirit man sick, the very heart of the man. Now, there's sometimes confusion on that, but so many times that word for heart means the very center of a man, the very central being of a man. But in this case, we're going to take it to mean the Spirit of God. Now, Proverbs 12:25. Hallelujah. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. I think in the Old King James, it talks about the heart being what? Somebody read that in the Old King James. What's
heaviness in the heart.
Okay. So it can be heavy. It can be make it stoop. The spirit man. Now, we also know from the scripture we read that it can be wounded. A wounded spirit, who can bear it? The spirit man can be wounded. The spirit man can be laden with heaviness. The spirit man can get sick. It can be rent. It can be torn. Amen? Okay. Now, the problem with that kind of a wound, hallelujah, and I say hallelujah, look in Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from sin? Who can say that I can clean myself up? Who can say it? See? And so when something happens here, I'm in a condition where I can't help myself. When I'm sick with an infirmity, sometimes I can pray and God will heal me. But whenever that wound comes to the spirit man, I get a wound that it's impossible for me to help myself with. All right? Time won't heal it. The old saying is, time heals everything. It will not heal a wounded spirit. Time won't heal everything, brother. Some people go to their grave with this thing. In fact, a lot of people go to their grave with this thing. Now, just in case you want another scripture, you can write down 2 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2 about this spirit man. It's a good deliverance scripture. Because it says that we should cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of soul and what? Of soul and spirit. Well, how can the spirit get filthy? And he's writing that to spirit-filled believers. How can the spirit man get filthy if it's intact and inviolate and Jesus is in there and the blood's in there and nothing can get in there? Can you hear me? Okay, we've got to go to the Word and let it instruct us and not hear religious spirits telling us what it means. Like we've all done, you know, for many years. I just accepted that for years without really investigating it, see? So what I'm saying is that whenever you get a wound in the spirit, you need outside help or you'll never be healed. I want to talk about how the spirit gets wounded. Go back to Proverbs 15th chapter. Oh, you're still there. Verse 13. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, what? The spirit is broken. By sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So one of the ways that the spirit can be wounded is through a sorrow. Grief will come upon us, and unless we learn some things, it'll break our spirit. It'll break our spirit. Now, sorrow can come from various experiences. We know from death of a loved one, disappointments, being disappointed in other people, being disappointed in yourself. I'm seeing more people today that are breaking their own spirit by disappointment in themselves. They set goals and make vows to God that are far beyond anything they're able to attain, and when they can't reach it, they wound their own spirit. Remember Hannah in 1 Samuel, how she cried out to God with such intensity for a son? And I really believe the woman had a broken spirit. And finally the prophet, see, Eli, his old eyes were dim and he thought she was drunk. But bless God, the Spirit of God came through anyway and gave her a promise, and the prophetic word came forth, and praise God, she got her answer.
Amen.
In spite of the fogginess of the prophet in that case. Hallelujah. Another way that the Spirit can be broken is in Psalm 69. Turn with me there to the left. Psalm 69, beginning in verse 19. There's a lot of scripture here, and I don't know whether, I hope we can get, this should be a three-part teaching, but I'm going to try to get through all of it. 69:19, it says, David knew what it was to be wounded. David knew what it was to be betrayed. So the second way that a spirit can be broken is through betrayal. He's crying out to God, and he says, you know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness. I look for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Now, this is a prophetic utterance.
Yes.
About Jesus on the cross, but it was also an experience of David. So much of prophetic ministry comes out of experience. Every prophet of God is a sign as well as a voice. Hallelujah. He'll be a sign. He'll walk out things before the people, and they'll observe it, and it'll be a prophetic picture to God's people. Hallelujah. So David knew what it was to have his spirit broken. Reproach. He was reproached, and that means he was blamed, he was censured, he was criticized, he was rebuked, he was scorned. That's what reproach means. To be criticized, to be scorned. And he says, that has broken my spirit. Hallelujah. Now go over to Psalm 41, verse 7. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. The betrayal of friends and loved ones will wound your spirit and break your heart. Hallelujah. Proverbs 27:6 says this. You don't have to turn there. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, for a long time I didn't understand what that was saying, but you know what it means? It means you can always depend on a friend to wound you. You can always depend on a friend to wound you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, what does faithfulness mean? It means dependability. And there's not a friend that you've got that won't wound you. Because every relationship that's worth a flip's got to be tested. Every church that's worth a flip's got to have a testing. Everything's got to be tested in God, especially relationships. Because what good's a relationship if it's all sweet and wonderful and goody-goody all the time and nothing ever goes wrong? But it's when you get crossways and you begin to doubt and distrust and the devil gets in there that you hang on to that friendship and go through that fire, and then you got something worth having.
Amen.
Marriages are the same way. Most folks don't understand that. And when the rumble comes, they don't learn that you just hang on. Sometimes. I'll let you out on that one. Now, so, betrayal. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many have been betrayed? Let's go back to Song of Solomon again. Same area, chapter 5. We're just going to go on down from where we just read. Verse 6. Another way that the spirit can be wounded. So she jumped up out of her bed, her hands dripping with myrrh, runs to the door, opens the door, and what to say? I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. Who's a beloved? Jesus. You ever have the Lord nudge you about 5 in the morning? Get up. I want to talk to you. Get up. I want to be with you. Oh, Lord, I didn't get in bed to 1. After all, Lord, I was ministering to those people last night. Can I just sleep in this morning? I mean, I deserve it. Get up. In a minute, Lord, you turn back over, you wake up and it's 8 o'clock. You go in to pray. You pray and you pray and you pray. He's gone. He's gone. My heart went out to him when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil away from me. There's not a person sitting in this room that's really got the hand of God on their life that hasn't been wounded by ministry. Now, a watchman, see, is supposed to guard the wall and cover you. A true watchman of God will cover the people. But see, these dudes struck the beloved, uncovered her right out there on the street, and wounded her. Hello, wounded church. Hello, wounded Christian. Every one of you's got a story about a preacher in here, in this room. Every one of you does. And boy, you just like to sit us down and just, boy, I want to tell you, I've got a few myself, brother. In fact, I've got more than a few. I've got a lot of. I guess it's a little over 2 years ago, Frank and I to Hammond called us and said, can you come out for a few days? And so we jumped in the van, ran out to Plainview. And here these soldiers were, just laying, wiped out, wounded, hurting. Ready to quit. I know it's all right to tell this, but Frank told me I could. Precious saints of God. We don't agree on a lot of things, but we love one another. So we don't get in any ruckuses or debates. We talk about things. Wish he saw some of the things I see, but
we still love him.
But there they were, these folks that had ministered to Linda and I like a mother and a father. And there they were just laying. And just before that time, Linda and I had been through one. We'd been laid out. But God had come to us with a word about this wounded spirit. And I got out there and I said, Brother Frank, we sat down one evening and I said, let's get our Bibles. And we opened our Bibles and we started searching the word. We got us concordance. And God laid this whole thing out to us right there. And God used us to bring healing to them. Help them get back on their feet and get back on the road. Hallelujah. And it's a strange sensation to do that. It kind of seemed like things were upside down, but we submit to one another in the Lord.
Yes.
See.
Yes, hallelujah.
And see, those people that should have our interest at heart sometimes will wound us. And so another way that the spirit can be broken is through abuse. See. They abused her. They wounded her. The very ones who ought to cover and protect her. And let me tell you what, I'm running more and more into this thing called incest. And everybody that's experienced incest has got a wounded spirit. And until that's specifically dealt with and ministered to, you'll never really be whole and complete. And another strange phenomenon about incest, especially with the sisters in the Lord, is that they seem to repress it so deeply that many of them can't even remember the hurt. We run into this time and again. They bury it so deeply from their conscious memory that it takes the Holy Spirit of God to bring it out and get it healed. Because we found a lot of problems in people's lives until that is healed by God. Brother, the Lord wants us to face our hurts and wounds and not run from them. And get them healed. Bring them to the cross. And get them healed. And then we can become whole and complete. And until we do, we'll never be totally overcomers. We had a sister one time, I probably told about it before here, but she was a young woman. She'd been through a divorce. Her ex-husband was a doctor and all kinds of things. But she had been to therapy. She'd been to psychiatrists. She'd been through therapy. She'd been given sodium pentothal as a drug to help bring out her past. She'd been hypnotized. She'd had all kinds of drugs and everything, and nothing could touch the fact that her father committed incest upon her until she was 17 years of age. And one night, my wife was sitting there, and the Holy Ghost spoke the word and said, but don't tell her tonight. And God had us wait about 2 weeks, and finally the Lord said, she's ready. And he'd already begun to show her, and when we spoke it, she broke down. And what a ministry came forth for that woman. She was literally set free.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. She'd been abused. That'll wound the spirit. Rejection will wound the spirit. Most everybody suffered that. Jesus suffered it. Never forget that there's not anything that you've gone through that Jesus didn't go through. He was wounded for our transgressions. Hallelujah. Now, just a few others will go on. Abandonment, rape, adultery will wound the spirit. Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A perverse tongue will break the spirit. Now, what's that mean? It can mean your own tongue being perverse. It can mean another person's perverse tongue. Whatever is contrary to simplicity and integrity is perverseness. In other words, smoothness and flattery in the tongue will break the spirit. Failure. Some great failure in your life. Divorce. So many times will break and wound the spirit man. Now, look at Job 16. Brother Job got the surprise of his life. One of his problems was, bless his heart, he had some pride. Had a lot of pride. That's what Leviathan's all about. A whole chapter in the Bible about Leviathan. Said, boy, there must be more to this thing than a crocodile, Lord. Sure enough, there was. Job saying, I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He's also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. Who? Who shattered Job? Who shook him to pieces? Verse 12, chapter 16. Who was shaking Job? Who got him by the neck? Who? God! God! What's the neck stand for? The will? Every time I run into a stubborn spirit, it's always in the neck. Your neck stiff today? He set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. Who? God. God. Now look at verse 1 in chapter 17. In the New King James, it says, my spirit is broken. My spirit is broken. God will allow it. God will let people hurt us and break our hearts. Experiences do it. Listen, brethren, I'm going to just be honest with you. Last summer, I got deceived. I got in deception. I got tied up with some brothers. I was just so hungry, and I was wounded. I was vulnerable. And I got hooked up with some guys for about 3 months, and I woke up one day and realized that I had been faked clear out of my britches. It took me 3 months to discern that thing, and it shouldn't have taken me 3 minutes. And when I woke up and thought the deliverance minister, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, Steve Bell, has been deceived. Oh, my God, what will people think? And I was devastated. And I went to God. And he said, don't blame the devil for this. Boy, it's so quiet in here. Whew.
Hallelujah.
Did Jesus get broken? Who allowed it? And yet he was such a faithful servant, he wouldn't even call for the angels. Any moment he could have said, that's it. Never did he. Never did he break. He yielded to the workings of the Father in his life. And like a sheep before her shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Is the servant any greater than his master? Who steps did you choose to walk in? Jesus. And you say, I want fellowship? What did Paul say? That I may know him. The power of his resurrection, and what else? The fellowship of his suffering being made conformable to his death.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. God's not going to just deal with the soul. God's not just going to redeem the body. He's going to clean this thing out too. And he's got to break it first. the first thing I look for in a man anymore. I learned that. It took me about 9 years, brother. But I look to see if he's been broken.
Hallelujah.
I look for an alabaster box. And I only say, God, have you gone far enough with me? He made himself of no reputation. All these people running around Dallas down there concerned about their reputation. Some of the brothers I've talked to says, I don't know about going down there to Lake Hamilton. They may think I'm a sonship preacher. Did Jesus ever turn an invitation down? Brothers won't even preach in my church because they're afraid that they might get branded as being in deliverance. Yeah. Okay. Well, we got to move on here. The effects. All right, let's go back over those. How the Spirit's wounded by sorrow, grief, betrayal, abuse, rejection by God, and other things like failure, divorce, and so forth. Now, what are the effects? How can I know? Some of you already know. What are the effects or the symptoms of a wounded spirit? Now, see, so many times, brethren, in ministry, we deal with the symptoms and we never get to the root of the problem. I've seen so much ministry, and it draws big crowds, but it never truly heals. It's just Band-Aid stuff. One of the most prevalent things that I've seen that is the effects of this kind of a wound is the overall inability to get established in the Lord and to grow. People with a wounded spirit can't hold the Word of God in their hearts. It's not good ground for the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. People like that. Why? So many times it's because there's a wound there that's been covered over with a scab, walled over with hardness, And that person, as they wall themselves up to keep themselves from getting hurt anymore, have even walled out the good word and the good seed of the Word of God. Amen? See? And see, if you read Matthew 13, the sower that went forth to sow, where did the seed go? In the heart. It's got to go in the heart. If it doesn't get in the heart, it won't grow, will it? That's where the ground is, the good ground. So if the heart's defective, where the word's planted, life can't issue. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed what? The issues of life. Where does the life come from? From the word that goes in. Either the prophetic word, like we've been having so richly, or the taught word. It's got to go into the heart before it'll bring forth that fruit. Now, it won't return to God void, no matter where it goes. But it won't benefit you if it doesn't get planted in your heart and become in flesh. Yeah. The incarnation of the Word. God's after another incarnation, brother. Hallelujah. That Word's got to be incarnate. We got to get it out of this book in these shoes. That's what God's after.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that inability to receive the Word of God, you say, boy, I seem like I go get ministry, and I just can't hold on to it. I listen to teachings, I listen to tapes, and I read books, and I just can't hold on to it. Just seems like I never can. And you know folks like that. Just can't ever get hold of it. Number two. And here's another big one. With a wounded spirit, there's an inability and a refusal, usually, to receive ministry. Now let's look at Genesis 37. Over to Genesis. Let's look at Jacob. Genesis 37, 32. Look at Jacob. Now here's the setting. Jacob found out about Joseph. They came in with that coat with what was animal blood. He thought it was Joseph's blood on the coat. They didn't have crime labs in those days. Check out what kind of blood it was. 32, then they sent the tunic of many colors. They brought it to their father and said, we have found this. Do you know whether it is your son's tunic or not? And he recognized it and said, it's my son's tunic. A wild beast has devoured him. Without doubt, Joseph is torn to pieces. Now, what kind of father, what kind of faith is that for a man of God? See, so there must have been fear in his heart. Think, oh, what if anything happens to my precious little baby Joseph? Bless God. I'm like some others. If God hadn't got Joseph away from Jacob, he'd have been a spoiled brat. Praise God. But see, verse 34, then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days, and all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. He refused to be comforted. There are people sitting in this building right now that are refusing the comfort of the Lord in some areas of your life. You've got to receive it. You've got to receive it. God will not just pile it on you. You've got to learn to open your heart up and say, God, I'm going to get healed. God, I'm going to get free. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to go open myself up. But see, because dare I do it again? Dare I risk it again? What if? 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 Refusal to be comforted. And so what we make a decision to do, well, I'll just live with this the rest of my life. There's some of you out here that have made that vow. You've cursed yourself. Well, I guess I'll be like this all my life. After all, here I am, 65 years old. I don't have much time left. And I guess I'll just hang on. Brother, we're never too old to be healed. We're never too old to serve the Lord. Some of the greatest men of God in history didn't really get started until they were in their 50s. I found out one day, hey, Brother Tommy, you know how old Smith Wigglesworth was when he started his miracle ministry? He was 48, brother. He was 48. That's a good age, isn't it, brother? Praise God. That's how old he was. Boy, that encouraged me. That's how old I am. Praise God. I'm ready. I think. Lord, you know. Now, in Jeremiah 31:15, you don't have to turn there. Remember the scripture that says a voice was heard in Ramah? What voice was heard? Rachel weeping for her children. But she what? She would not be comforted. She wouldn't hear. She wouldn't receive the prophetic. And yet God began to speak to her. Weep not, for they shall return. But she refused to hear it. She'd rather stew in her sorrow and in her misery than hear the prophetic word of God. Listen, God's been trying to encourage us ever since we hit the ground here. Hallelujah. He's encouraged me, I'll tell you that for sure. Hallelujah. And brother, I'm receiving it. Hallelujah. Praise God, I'm going to receive it. I'm not going to say, oh, I'm just so wounded. If I don't get healed, if I leave this camp and I don't get ministry, what if they never prophesy to me? What if I don't get ministry? Oh, what if nobody prays for me if I get up there and go home? Listen, just open yourself up and receive. This is a safe place. I'm telling you, it's safe here. It's safe here. I mean that in all sincerity. Amen, Brother Jack. Safe here, isn't it, brother?
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open up your spirits. That's right. That's right. And if you get hurt, God will heal you. There's nothing impossible with God. He'll heal anything. Hallelujah. Okay. So, inability to get established in the Word. Inability to receive ministry. Refusal to be comforted. Refusal to be comforted. Number three, another symptom of a broken spirit is hopelessness. No way out. No way out. Hopeless. Don't know what I'm going to do. Don't know what I'm going to do. If I don't just get a miracle and you just get passive and just, you don't know what you're waiting on. Next one, inability to trust. Inability to trust. Even God. After all, when it all comes down to the bottom line, brother, that's who you're mad at anyway. I found out that everybody's bitter. They can talk about their ex-wife. They can talk about their kids. They can talk, but the bottom line is they're mad at God. And when we get honest about that, then we can get healed after we repent. Oh, no, Brother Bell. How many of you have been taught that you've got to love your parents? After all, it's my mother. I do love her. We minister to people, but brother, I believe you got a problem with your mother. But no, I love my mother. Now, brother, God showed me that you're bitter towards your mother. Oh, no. You know, everybody loves their mother. And finally that old demon had come up and said, I hate her! We're to honor our father and mother. The bottom line is, God, why did you let this happen? God, why did you let me get hurt? If you're such a... See, and that's why spirit-filled people are really, really laid out worse, because they've been taught to believe more about God and more in God, and they see the capabilities of God, and they come to Him, and then when things don't work out like they think it should, they get mad at God. God, if you're able to do all this, why didn't you help me? God, why aren't I healed? I've been sick for 20 years. Why aren't I healed, God? Let's get honest. The truth will make us free. God can forgive you for being mad at Him. He can handle it. He can handle it. He's had a whole world in rebellion against Him for a long time. And a third of heaven. He's handling it pretty well. Other symptoms. Turn with me to Psalm 77. I'm not going to read that passage. I'll let you read it. In Psalm 77, 1 through 9, there's a whole passage through there. A psalm of Asaph. I believe it's the heart of David again coming forth. He cried to God with his voice. To God with my voice, he gave me ear. He gave his ear to me. It says, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. And some of the other symptoms that I see in this passage of a broken spirit is inner rawness, sleeplessness, insomnia, introspection. One of the problems I found out when people get into deliverance, they get introspective. They turn in on themselves sometimes. They go on a demon hunt within their lives. They run up to me every time I see them. Brother Bill, what do you think about this demon I got? What do you think? Baloney. Let the Lord lead your deliverance. Complaining. Reminiscence. They get where they talk about the good old days. Dwell in the good old days, which weren't so good. Doubt. Failing trust in God and others. And then in Proverbs 17:22, let's turn there. Merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Dry bones. Now, what's dry bone? Arthritis. Stiffness of the joints. What brings us together in the church? How are we put together as what? Joints. Joints. Read it in Ephesians. But what if the joint gets dry? Can't move it. Painful when you move it. So this thing of a broken spirit will finally work its way out of the spirit into the soul. It'll create a root of bitterness in the soul that won't be removed or cast out, and it'll work its way finally into the body with infirmities. Arthritis, other things, stiffness of the joint, dryness of the bones, all those things that happen. I'm a firm believer that every physical infirmity has its root right in the spirit of the man. I just believe it. Show me all the germs under the microscope you want to, but take me to the sin root of my problem and I'll get healed. Hallelujah. So what happens, brethren, with a wounded spirit? We lose the bridge of trust to be able to reach out and trust anybody or anything, including God. We can't really trust ministry. We can't trust our friends. We can't trust anything. And a great wall is built up of hardness of the heart, a stony heart. I find people that have had this, they're kind of weepy a lot, and they're touchy. Real hypersensitive about things. They're easily offended, easily upset, hurt, that sort of thing. All right. Let's talk about the way out of this. Amen. Number one, decision. Decision of the will. God addresses your will. What will you do? Jesus always said, what do you want? It's not some emotional thing that you come to, but it's a decision. The choice is yours. You can decide to solace yourself in self-pity, suppression, and all of these things. You can turn to drink. You can turn to sex. You can turn to drugs. And what you end up doing when you do these things, brethren, you make a covenant with death. See, the Word of God, for you that have a wounded spirit today, brings you to a crossroads. And you can make a decision to go down into self-pity, depression, escapism. A lot of believers today are falling into that trap of running. They got a running spirit, and so they're running from this fellowship, to this state, to that conference, to this, to that, because they won't be healed. And so it becomes a vicious circle that the enemy gets you on until finally suicide is considered, and all these spirits get involved here in this circle. And listen, the bottom line of this whole thing is sin. But you don't understand, Brother Steve. I mean, I really got hurt. You don't understand. You know, I lost my... Listen, any time we turn to ourselves for help, it's sin. Because what we're doing, we're turning away from God. We're essentially not trusting the Father, and we're rebelling. Just like some of you have had children that you wanted to gather them in and to minister to them and to love them and to heal them, but they would not. They went their own way, and you saw what all they got into, and you just had to sit back and let them stew in their own sin. And this, brethren, is a house of death. Death comes, and death is a principality. There's a principality called death. And you can come, and it's not so much a demon that's in you, although that can be, as it is an influence you're under. And you can go in people's houses that are living in this principality, and you'll feel it in their house. It'll be cold, it'll be heavy, it'll be full sometimes of antiques and old pictures and old memorabilia of the past, and you'll just feel death. And it's a principality. It's not so much in the people as it is just in the air that they live in. Because they won't turn and be healed. They won't see their sin and repent and say, I've decided that I'm coming out of this. It's a decision of the will. You can decide to be healed. In Psalm 55, 16, David says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Look at Psalm 77 quickly. Verse 10. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great? A God is our God. You are the God who does wonders. You've declared your strength among the peoples. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Praise God. Begin to remember from whence you came. A few months ago, as God was healing me, I said, God, take me back to those first days that I got full of the Holy Spirit and I just do anything. Man, you know, the Lord said, go over here across town and pray for somebody that you don't even know. And man, I jump in the car, wouldn't even have the money to get there. And on the way there, somebody put the gas money in my hand, and I'd go, and the person would be healed. And I just a fool for God, and just, I didn't care. I just loved God and was just so full of joy and zeal. Somewhere along the way, the watchman found me and wounded me. Here I come. Oh, woe is me. Oh, God, what is this all about? That's what manna is, you know. What is it? Hey, we're all eating manna. Every day we go out and pick it up and say, what is it? What is this, Lord? What's going on, God, in my life? Oh, welcome to the club. They didn't know what to call it, so they called it manna, which meant, what is it? Another thing I found out about manna, I finally found it out. I read the Bible a little closer, It won't satisfy the flesh. Manna is everything you need to live a supernatural life. If you eat manna, you'll have divine health. Your clothes won't wear out. Your shoes won't wear out. You'll have divine protection. Balaam can't even curse you. But it won't satisfy your flesh. Because God wants to leave that beast free and just see what you'll do with it. And if you don't watch out, you'll start praying for quail. That's right. I've done it. Oh, God, just send me one little old quail. Just one, God. I don't need 112 bushels. Just one, Lord.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.